Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're gonna get Amin in those, so you gotta listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to another fun-filled edition of Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. My name is Amin Hassan. That right there is Big Jerv. That's Black Trey. Today on Bomb, we got...
Let's talk about why we really here, man. Why we really here, man. Tell us about this book, man.
I appreciate it, man. I feel like I've been working on this book since Hov and Nas were beefing.
Really?
It's been a while.
Do you feel like that?
Yeah, so long ago that Amin was still playing basketball, because I think I told him about it back in the day after we had played once. So it's been a long time coming, and it's something that I'm really proud to finally get out there. It's a oral history on the rise of hip-hop, and it's spread across the country into becoming one of the most dominant musical genre that we've seen, and how it rose from nothing in the Bronx, and how its different permutations manifested across the country. So you get something like gangster rap in LA and trap in Atlanta and crunk in Memphis, and
so you're just covering all genres and different areas and also the dominance time periods, because you know things just change up. You say you have over 300 interviews.
Yeah, I do.
In the past 3 years, that's work, man.
You know, talking to rappers and asking for them to, you know, give interviews for free about their life and career, that wasn't the easiest thing to do.
But everybody wants a dollar too. That's the thing, because it's like, you know, but also feel a slight if they're not mentioned, which is so funny about it.
Yeah,
it's like, well, I asked you, but now you're trying to come with a price of like, oh, well, you're not about to make a buck off me. And it's like, nah, man, I'm just trying to document history and these things. And you got the voices of Ice Cube, Ice-T, Bun B, Marley Marl, Grandmaster Cash, Just Blaze, Killer Mike, Rhymefest, DMC, Curtis Blow. Man, like, who's your favorite to interview out of the 300?
So before this, I had written a book on The Wire, an oral history on that show. And I remember just so vividly talking to Ed Burns, who had co-created that show. And it was just like I was talking to one of the most smartest people I'd ever met, right? He is just this curmudgeonly guy, but he has this perspective on the world where if motherfuckers just listen to this guy, the world would be a much better place. I got that same feeling when I was talking to Kool Moe Dee. And he's a guy who, he's at the beginning of hip hop, but he kind of stretches different generations, and he studied his history and his place in hip hop's place in this country so much. So he was talking about how he decided not to boycott the 1988 Grammys when so many others did. He talked about how it seemed like Public Enemy and NWA were coming face to face, and corporate America seemed to back NWA instead of that social conscious group coming out. He had just had so many jewels of knowledge that I was like, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, is this a interview or is this a class that I'm sitting on right now? It was one of those.
Oh yeah, he had grown man bars.
Yep.
Who was the most difficult?
There was a couple people who I tried to get stuff for them, and just for whatever reason, they just were not into the interview. And I can understand that, right? Mm-hmm. So some of these people have had their stories told so many times. So I would have loved to talk to somebody like Nas, right? Mm-hmm. But he has a documentary about himself that he produced, or somebody like Rakim, you know. He has a memoir that he already wrote, and their stories are told. So, like, I talked to Scarface, and I was really juiced to talk to Scarface, but he just didn't give me anything that I could use. He just had answered, I guess, the questions too many times. But even in that type of note, and that, you know, it stinks, but their stories are out there. But I was just as happy to talk to somebody like Edwin Fletcher, who helped co-wrote The Message, like one of the most influential songs ever. And I talked to him before he passed last year, and he was just really, really enlightening. Or somebody like Monica Lynch, who was one of the leading female executives for Tommy Boy, who helped get Afrika Bambaataa and who signed Queen Latifah and who's done so much in hip hop. So it was also talking to people who maybe were not as well known as, you know, the monumental figures of hip hop and artists, but who had just as big of an impact almost.
So while we were allowing Trayvon Edwards to treat us as a diva that he is, you know, we had the pleasure of you know, chatting, and I was pleased when you gave me the information that I needed, is that, you know, Philly gets a little love in this book, you know. So what would you talking to Schoolie D what was that like? Like, you know what I mean? Because I felt, you know, I told you, I feel like he's a person that doesn't get enough credit for having the impact that he should have, the respect in hip hop.
Yeah. So let me ask you this also. In Philly, is Schooly really recognized as the originator of gangster rap like he should be?
It depends. It depends on who you talk to. If you talk to people my age, you know, not really. We kind of associate the gangster rap with, and it sounds crazy, but with like Beans and State Property, because that's the era that we grew up on. But if you talk to someone like my cousin who's in his 50s, the 80s was more of a, you know, his time to shine, you know, kind of sort of. I mean, all day it's Schooly. Like you can't talk to them without hearing about Schooly.
Yeah. So Schooly originated gangster rap when in 1985 he came out with PSK, What Does It Mean? And that stood for Parkside Killers, and it was really hip hop's first graphic hardcore street song. And right after that, Ice-T kind of bit his style for Six in the Morning, and then NWA or Eazy-E did it for Boys in the Hood. So it was like one after another after another, but it started in Philadelphia. And he was funny, man, talking to him. He had one quote in the book where he's like, man, after a while, I just got tired of explaining myself to people. Like I was just documenting what I was seeing, but they always wanted me to explain myself. And it's like, Johnny Cash, that motherfucker don't have to explain himself. It's like, I tried to do that for as long until my face got as blue as that bitch in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. That was his quote.
Man,
it's one of my favorite quotes in the book.
Yo, I'm mad that you gave Jerv this ammo. He, look, you on mute, man. That's what you get.
Hey, bro. Listen, I don't agree with the last guy that was in charge, but hey, maybe he's right. Maybe, you know, certain things do happen in Philadelphia, brother. I mean, listen, we out here just birthing the greatest part of hip hop.
You know what's crazy? I've never heard a Schooly D song, so I have to go listen.
You never heard PSK?
I've never heard it in my life.
I'll tell you this, bro. You've heard it. You just don't know. You don't realize you've heard it. Like you've, okay. You've heard it in a movie.
Okay.
100%.
I'm not saying it as an offensive part or like, oh, I'm
dismissing. No, I got you.
More so like, again, I was talking to Jake One the other day about like, bro, anything that comes across your plate, please send it to me. Like I'm trying to learn and listen. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. It's not even, it's still some movies that I haven't even seen. You know what I'm saying? That, you know, pretty much I got to check out. Like, he sent me Rhythm of Life by James Mason. I never heard that album before. He sent me Satin Doll by Bobby Humphrey. Another album I've never heard. So, you know what I mean? Like, just different things. And then I think it started with mainly, I think it was, who was I talking to? I think, Cortex. I stumbled upon Cortex and just seeing how many times it was sampled by rappers. You know what I mean? Like, it's so many. Ross, Freddie Gibbs, different people have used Cortex. So that's how we sparked that conversation. So it's not like, oh, I'm just saying like, oh, like, no, I don't know what Schooly D is and I'm not about to go. No, I'm about to dive deep into it. And I think that's the good thing about Jonathan's book mainly is it's going to, especially once you get into your 30s and your 40s, the age of information is right there. It's like, oh, mind blowing. Or like, didn't know. Like Sade having Sweetest Taboo be about heroin. Or motherfuckers didn't even know that Sade was a group. You know what I mean? These things are starting to come out. And you know what I mean? Like, and that makes
Wait. You said Sade was a group?
Yes. It's a group. It's a band.
Shut up.
Yeah. Go look it up.
It's not. Wow.
Yeah. So wow. Exactly. So those are the things. And I think that as we dive into his book, we're going to be able to just pick different interviews and different stories. And it's not one of those things where, because it's chapter wise, right? Where it's like covering, you're going to be able to just open a book like the Bible and be able to be like, let me tap into this era or I'm going to tap into this era and learn different things. Because obviously, you know, the OGs have either been locked up, or they done passed on, or being our age, we were just too cool for our uncles and our cousins that's older than us to actually have that conversation. I'm just now starting to talk to my dad's brother about my uncle, basically about shit that they was wearing, shit that they was listening to, the shit that they was doing. Like, That's how I became a Rams fan, just talking to my dad's brother, basically my uncle, about which team they rooted for, because I didn't know nothing about my dad like that. So just now getting that comfort and being at their age now where they was and being more informative. So learning about Schoolie D and more about Ice-T, like, I'd rather read about it, but I'm also a documentary buff. So this is something really dope. And the fact that you got 300 of these things, I'm locked in. Easy
sell. I love that perspective, Trey, because I feel like that's what the book is. And that's what I try to do, is provide this kaleidoscopic look of hip hop throughout the years. Cause no one book is going to be able to capture like everything in hip hop. Right. Mm-hmm. So this, I try to like drop in and drop out and hit crucial moments and crucial mm-hmm. figures and keep it moving and provide that education, because hip hop is so big right now. But back in the early 70s, mid 70s, they didn't know that it was going to become this huge, huge thing. Right. So there's so much confusion and not a lot of history on how this whole thing actually started, which is another thing that I try to provide with this book, and giving some of those originators and pioneers the due that has eluded them for so long.
Yeah, it's a weird parallel, like the NBA and hip hop too, because you got like those OG players, like, you know, Jerv likes Charles Barkley, but then you think about the doctor. You think about all these players that were really doing their thing in the 80s, and they weren't making these big bucks. And they were like consecutive all-stars. They were like, they did the moves first. They did everything first. And like, now you look at them and maybe they have a team job, or maybe they're an ambassador, but like, they're never going to see the money that these guys currently are making. And that's the same thing with rap. Like, you're looking, you're still like, oh, you know, like LL Cool J invented the GOAT, you know, like acronym of that. Like, people don't know that. We say GOAT all the time. We call somebody a GOAT. And it's like, go ahead, Jerv.
No, you know, it's funny. You mentioning LL, I'm a big LL fan, right? Mm-hmm. But like certain aspects of LL, right? But I also recognize that some of the stuff, some of the songs he was making just wasn't for me. But I always recognized his greatness. When you were talking to all these people, you know, all the interviews that you're doing within the book, right?
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher turned podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
What's the if this even came up, what's the perspective on L, right? Because like if anyone was talking about him in particular, like, what's the perspective on him? Because I don't feel he's one of those guys that's very vocal about, yo, I'm the best to ever do it. But when you talk to people and you really go into their, yo, who do you think is the best ever. L's name, right or wrong, doesn't really come up that often unless the person's of a certain age group.
Yeah, I think he's one of the people who, if you know, you know, and he's considered one of the GOATs, right? But he's not somebody who continued dropping an album like every other year or so on after that. Like when he burst through, when he was like 17, coming through on Def Jam, yeah, he was taking over hip hop. I mean, he was reinventing the wheel right there. Like hip hop had never even really seen a solo star on his level. Like before that, you had mostly groups, right?
Yeah.
You had like Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, or you had Run DMC was a tandem, obviously. He was maybe Curtis Blow a little bit before him, but LL was one of hip hop's first solo stars. And the combination with him and Rick Rubin in those mid 80s, then he was dropping love ballads, right? When nobody else in hip hop had done that before. I mean, he had the game cornered for a little while, mm-hmm. but you know, he's an actor.
I mean, Ice Cube hit on like a very important point where he said, no rapper really has more than a 5-year run and you have to accept it. You know what I mean? Like maybe Drake, but I'm looking at it like still there is people that are in consideration. We don't think about who was like, even when Jay-Z was like doing Volume 2, X was right there. Yeah. Where you got another person that's still kind of like, X might have had that year. You know what I mean? Where he's like, oh, I got to work a little bit harder. And you really think about that. And Ice Cube was like, that's the main shift of like, I knew I didn't have the pulse of this that drove me into making Friday and getting into pivoting in and other things, because you have to pass that torch and how the game of music is going. Because think about the Bling Bling era, right? And you think about Rough Riders, you think about Cash Money.
And then No Limit, Jerv.
No, hey, they listen. Cats know what it is with me, bro. When I was in high school, when I think it was Slam, whoever was doing, like, it might have been XXL. They came out and they had like the top whatever rappers, right? Like they ranked the rappers, and they had like Silk the Shocker at like 10 or 15, right? So I'm super duper No Limit. So I'm in school. I'm like, yo, I told you Silk the Shocker is nice. Mm-hmm. I was dying on that hill. I go back and listen to Silk the Shocker now, bro. I hear everything everyone said. He's super duper offbeat. And this is no shot at Silk. Legend, right? Like legend in his own right for his impact and the movement that he was a part of. Offbeat. Wasn't really saying anything, right? Like literally was benefiting off of Big Bro's the guy, right? And Big Bro is making sure that I get 10 to 15 amazing beats and I'm getting features.
You ride that hot hand. You keep pushing it out, because when you hot, you hot. When you not, you not. And that's the main thing. If you look at that, right? Cash Money, Rough Riders, then we got The Rock, then we got Lil Jon. The East Side Boys, and then the South had a run. Houston came in. It was Atlanta to Houston. Then Game came out. And we had one little sprinkle. And then before that, even that 03, Lil Jon and them only had a window because 50 and G on it. It was really a sprinkle. It was a splash of like Get Low, Fun Club Records, and then who is this dude rapping on West Coast beats? 50 Cent. He been around, but Drake produced it, because anything Drake touched, you're going to get attention, right?
Yeah.
You got there. Then you transition to the next thing, which was Houston. Lil Flint, Mike Jones, Chamillionaire. They had their little run. Then the next thing going to late 2008-ish.
By Lil Runs, you mean like they had a song, right? And again, this is no shot. No.
It was a time where people they were like getting those features. You had to think about like how hot these
people Okay, you mean are. The features. Okay, I got you.
When you look at it, like they got an album. They do the numbers, they go platinum, they're on the radio, and now they're getting these random ass features. Because that's the thing you have to look at. When you go into 06 mixtape Lil Wayne,
yep,
right? He's killing it. Then people are like, okay, what's next? Okay, going into that, we got T-Pain doing all this other stuff. Then we got Jeezy. Well, Jeezy was even 05, but Jeezy was a part of that in the ATL stop. And then we got Gucci. And then now we get to 2010s, the blog era. And then now you're moving on. Now you
Trey, did you write this?
I said, what?
I said, did you write this book?
I did not.
he won ghostwriter credits.
Hey, man, no, I'm just a fan, man. So, like, obviously, I love music, but I definitely want to know beforehand. I don't know anything about the 80s. I don't know anything about the 70s. I barely know something about the 90s. DJ Quick is my GOAT.
Oh, so, man, I love DJ Quick. Criminally, you know, underrated.
Super
criminally,
underrated.
As a producer and an artist, criminally underrated.
Yeah, I mean, I push it all the time. Obviously, Jay-Z is one of my favorite lyricists, you know, but DJ Quick from my hometown doesn't get enough credit. I wish he would have gave Hov a better beat than Justify My Thug. He flopped it on that particular moment. But
you think that was a flop?
I don't love that song. I go back and listen to it, and it's just, I mean, it's cool. But, like, when you think of a Quick sound, it's a lot of piano. It's a lot of Roger Troutman. It's a lot of, you know, twisting, a little funk, you know, G-Funk era. Warren G doesn't get a lot of credit. It's a lot of producers that I just think that was just really, 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 really dope. And
Daz Dillinger, throw him in there too.
Daz Dillinger is really, he's a quiet one right there. I'm mentoring a guy right now by the name of Huey Briss out of Long Beach. And I would love for him to connect with Daz and put out that West Coast sound, because West Coast rappers right now sound like Detroit rappers. The best rappers right now, and we talk about who's hot, Detroit rappers got it. Easy call. Baby Money, Babyface Ray, I mean, Topside, Bodie.
Would that be considered drill music? Would that be considered, well, not Bodie,
no, that's
but
not drill. They just got they sped up, they rap fast. The beat is, you know, them dudes are doing the whole thing.
That whole chopper legacy of the Midwest.
Man, shit, everybody in Philly sound like that. Everybody in Philly sound like drill rap now.
I mean, I get it. But y'all even twisted a whole new sound too. It's a kid that's real hot right now. It's called Too Rare. He from Philly, but he do that little, y'all invented that. That dance. That's Philly. Where? Yeah, that's Philly.
That's what's up.
You got me back on thinking about DJ Quick now. And I remember in college, I had a roommate named Mike P.
Mm-hmm.
You remember Tonight?
Yep.
When he says, what does he say? Like Mike P couldn't handle it, calling Earl like a mother.
Mm-hmm.
He used to play that every night before
every
going
day.
Out.
And it had that, what's her name? What's her name? She passed away. Is it Betty Wright? The Tonight sample on there?
I gotta look it up and see who else was on that.
Tonight. Mm-mm-mm. But he was sampling that. You know what I mean? Like, yep. And that was the thing. Like, you know, and Quick, obviously, you know, he's one of my favorites, man. Just that sound. Even when he hooked up with Tony Tone for Let's Get Down and Lucy Pearl. I mean, he was doing some crazy production.
But I know you guys talk about Atlanta on here, the television show. Let me ask you guys this. When you guys saw that, I think it was the third episode of this season, when he was trying to get a young white artists to go forward. Like, I was watching that episode. I thought, man, how true is this? Like, people like realizing like their window is so short. And that's what it is in hip hop today. The window is so short that you try to, somebody like Gucci, he has all these other artists who he mentored out in Atlanta because that window was short. You try to capitalize on it with the next generation after that.
Yeah. I mean, the main thing about even the mentorship is you can get that feature guaranteed. If you want to drop an album, that's why I said when Noriega was doing those early stuff, and now when he's doing Dream Chap, people's like, "Oh, you a legend!" It's just playing your part in them type of things. Because once he did Reggaeton,
we don't like to talk about that. I mean, he made some bread off that, but you know,
I mean, but I'm just
as
saying,
a Nori like, fan, we don't like to talk about
I mean,
that.
You know, I'm more, you know, Melvin Flint the Hustler Nori, but still recognizing those parts you play. And I think that's the cool thing about it. Cause even when you think about Lil Bibby from Chicago, right? He had Juice WRLD. You don't even really think about how people are like, oh shit. Like the industry did me kind of shady, but like I know a little bit and I could put a little bit money and get these guys started. And then it just takes off. And you just find out certain guys is just behind certain people. Cause that it's just a great thing. Before we let you go, when is the book coming out? Where can people find the book? And where can people find you?
The book comes out October 18th. You can get it come up wherever books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Cop it when I drop it. Just always want to say that tag. My Twitter is JPD Abrams, and I appreciate the love, y'all.
For Black Trey, Big Jerb, I'm Amino Hassan, saying stay black, motherfucker.